I guess by now you probably know how much I enjoy gardening. I've made it one of the purposes of my life to try to figure out how to have a yard of perennials that survive this drought that we always have and that survive the deer that we have. I built a little house down in King George about 10 years ago, and after about 10 years, I have a pretty nice garden. I only get down there like once every week or once every 2 weeks, though, so the weeds are kind of out of control. But one of the things I like to do is I like to just go and look at how things grow. If you've ever just watched plants grow, if you've ever watched flowers bloom, it's a marvel. God is a genius, according to our word. Sometimes they'll grow 3 to 4 inches in a week. And it's like each branch, each stem knows what to do. And each bloom is perfect in its development. I did this Sunday Mass at Green Spring on Friday. And this guy came up to me after the Mass and he said, "What you're talking about is fractals." He said, "Do you know what fractals are?" I said, "No." He said, and so he said, "Look it up." And so I did. Do you know that, let's say for instance, echinacea, which is also called coneflower, when the bud comes out, it is infinitely small, but it is perfectly geometric, as is the bud that turns into a flower. It's marvelous. God's creation is so marvelous. And so I looked it up, and it says there are many examples of fractals that we encounter in everyday life. Pineapples grow according to fractal laws. Ice crystals form in similar fractal shapes. The repetitive design of broccoli is another example of how fractals appear in nature as evolutionary adaptations for efficient growth. Fractals, for example, allow plants to maximize their exposure to sunlight. And fractals allow even our cardiovascular system to efficiently transport oxygen to all parts of our bodies. This one kind of broccoli grows in spirals according to the golden ratio. I'm not going to go into what that is, but there seems to be one of those natural rules of nature. So this kind of broccoli grows in exactly the same spiral as spiral galaxies and nautilus shells. How wonderful is God's creation? A pine cone has a spiral that is mathematically logarithmic. Succulents, fingerprints, snow, and other crystals. Trees are, in fact, fractal from their seeds to their roots to their leaves to their canopy. If you look closely at the veins of the leaves, you'll notice just how similar they are. The tiniest ones look like the midline vein of the leaf. The midline vein of the leaf looks like the tree trunk with its branches. So I'm kind of going into kind of the deep dive into this, but I found this so amazing that I've always enjoyed it, but I've never really been able to tell you about it, just the fact that I enjoy it. When I was growing up on the farm, we experienced the gospel every year. We would plant wheat, and we planted winter wheat, which you planted in the fall, and you would spend all your money on the grain, on the seed, and you would till the field, and then you would just plant the seed, and you would just hope for the best. You would rely on nature. You know, we had a lot of storms in Kansas in the fall. You would just wonder what was going to happen. Too much rain, not enough rain. You had to trust. You had to learn how to trust. And then one morning you would get up and you'd go to breakfast. We had windows that looked out over the fields. And suddenly you would notice there was a little green tint on the top of the soil. And you would know that the seed had sprouted and that God had done his work to make that happen. This is what Jesus says the kingdom of God is like. Not necessarily in its physical form, but in the way it seems to be automatically willed by God. There's nothing we could do to make it happen or even help it along. It just is what God wants it to be. God cannot be frustrated. So his will is to be trusted. And we have to become people of trust watching and waiting. Because God has already won, and God is in control of his creation. And we watch it lovingly unfold. Well, as human beings, we try to get science involved, don't we? We try to explain everything. And science, it's good for up to a point. It can explain things until it can't explain things anymore. We forget that it is not science's job to explain God. Science can't begin to explain God. A creature only knows its own creatureness, not the mystery of the Creator. We are not contemporaries of God. We're not logically even friends, except by God's will to have a relationship with us. In the same way that God wills those flowers to bloom and that corn stalk to grow ears of kernels and that mustard seed to be the home of so many birds, he forms us as persons. Still, we are worriers. What do I have to do to make that happen? Nothing. God has embedded gifts in you that are unique. Do you believe it? You're placed here by God's will to be what he made you to be. There is no need to change that. You do not live according to the world's evaluation. You are beautiful and will unfold exactly as you are to do. But in our case as human persons, it depends on our free will. And if you think about it, what love God has for us that we can freely love him. He gives us a free will. Otherwise, our love would be slavery. It wouldn't be free. But he opens the door to the possibility of our choosing other than him. Our choice to love is freely made. So I would tell you today that maybe the one thing in God's creation that is not automatically happening according to his will is our free will. So when we reflect on the kingdom of God, we must discern God's will for our life. Our life is not our own, and we have to will what God wants. Some theologians refer to this as a synergy of wills. We must have a part in it, but we have no part in actually making it happen. We let God do his work, and we grow, and we unfold. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day, and through it all the seed would sprout and grow, he knows not how. Of its own accord, the land yields the fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest has come.